This episode of Pondering Nerdcast was brought to you by GamingRebellion.com. Join the community today at GamingRebellion.com, where it's more than just games.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Pondering Nerdcast. This is episode 81. Now we're old and crotchety. That means we're way past our AARP age. And we're just like, you know, we'll get to 100 at some point.
We're just going
to
die soon. That's all that means. We're just going to die
soon. Euthanasia of old people is coming. If you watch, if you've ever seen Death Race, you know what I'm talking about.
It's like, it's going to happen. We're like old guys sitting in a nursing home at this point. Like just waiting for our sponge pass. From the underpaid nurse.
Exactly. All right, here with me tonight is Nate Rowe.
Yo, and joining alongside me is Lance John.
All right, what's going on? People are sick or couldn't make it. Or, you know, well, they got work, so.
Well, also, and we are starting a new time. So we're starting a new recording day, and it's a little, schedules are hectic, so hopefully we'll be back to normal soon.
Life comes at you fast, as they say. Anyway, let's get started with some stuff here in the tech world. So, I don't want to say it's there've been like a slew, well, not a slew, but there's been this one app that came out recently called Sahara, or however you even pronounce it, that lets you anonymously send people messages and stuff like that. So, and it's really, really popular, in the app stores and everything like that. So along comes another app called TBH, which is short for To Be Honest. And what this lets you do is it lets you rate your friends, or I should say, no, review your friends. So you can say things anonymously about your friends, which is kind of weird because it's like, well, you need to have like a friend and then they will say something about you, but they would like tell you certain things. For instance, like in the article, they say like a girl thinks you're the future, a future manager of a yoga studio. That's about it. It sounds really harmless and it sounds really like, oh, this is cute and everything. But we all know this is just another app to make sure that you're a shitbag.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I don't even know where to start with this. It's basically, first of all, you have to have the inclination to actually make an account with this site and then receive the messages. So just from that standpoint, you might as well say that you are setting yourself up for like a Comedy Central roast. Because there's no good going to come of this, okay? People are not going to use this site to just drop nice things. Like, hey, I saw that shirt you were wearing yesterday. It's an awesome shirt. You're never going to fucking get that one. It's going to be an anonymous, hey, this dude's a fucking douchebag because of some petty argument you just had with your friend. It's just retarded. I have no sympathy for this type of stuff because people let it happen. You know what I mean? It's not even, forget the troll bags who are going to troll on it.
Oh my
because
God.
That's just going to happen, right? It's the internet. We have the internet, right?
These
dummies who actually make an account using this type of site thinking anything but bad is going to come from it. Like, I have no sympathy for you. We should weed you out of the human evolution pool because it's just stupidity. It's just dumb. It's just plain dumb.
And it's like I'm looking like, so here's the thing, is it's definitely going to be used for bullying because you have to be at least 13 years old, which to sign up. So you know it's going to get really juvenile very quickly. It's
That's
only
this is
available
for, is super right. young people who don't who don't yeah. like, and I think that's why we don't get it. Like me and you, we're in our 30s now. We don't get it. Like
we're old man, don't get it.
I don't think we're old, but I think this is past us. Like this Not is way us. Into the whole, you know, like the age of privacy that a lot of people have said that's been dead for years now, and this is just catering to that to the people who killed it. To the people who killed privacy, this is who it caters to. People who just, like, that's the norm to a teenager, is hearing what everybody has to say whenever they want to say it anonymously. Like, that's a rough world to live in as a young person, man, seriously. Like, I'm not going to get all philosophical, but that's got to be a young... when we were in school, well, back in the day, when we were young tykes and in elementary or middle school or shit, the worst that we heard was stuff on the bus and or school. Like, that was, like, pretty much the extent of people being able to say or bully people, right? And now, that same kid who would just have to have dealt with bullies on the school bus or at school or wherever, you know, these bullies lurk, now they're just fucking everywhere. Now the bully has unlimited access to the internet and anonymous messaging. And it's just like, oh, man, it's got to be rough. It's got to be rough for that to at least not stop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's just got to be rough. So fuck sites like this. It's stupid. It's nothing but invasive. It's perverse. Like, I know that the people making this site would probably try to back up their work and say, oh, no, it's not meant for that. It's meant for that. And it's like, dude, you know what it's going to be used for. You know what I mean? Like, you know what it's going to be used for. That'd be like if you opened up a hotel saying, it's just for people who want to take two-hour naps. That's all it's for. That's why we sell the rooms by 2 hours. No.
Right.
Every hooker within a fucking five-mile radius is going to start using your hotel, and that's who you're opening it up for. You know what I'm saying? So don't fucking try to be coy with shit. Like, it's just wrong. It's just stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, right now, the app is only available for iOS and only, like, in select markets, you know, that they have, so it's not like widely available. So I hope it doesn't become popular. I don't like to say that about people who, you know, I'm sure they believe they put a lot of hard work into this other thing and everything like that, but I'm with you, Nate. I'm not for this. You know, we're not just being, or it's not out of our demographic or whatever. It just seems it's gonna be a bad thing. It's like, no matter what, no matter how you try to slice it, you know, so whatever. That's the app, to be honest. Check it out, I guess, if you're in the market.
That's another thing. Fuck that shit, man. It's it's called TBH, and people, they don't even capitalize it. Like, they leave the letters uncapitalized as to be this internet slang. We're going to be hip and cool and call it TBH because that's what people say, but when they're about to say something real.
Part of the marketing.
TBH? I don't like the way you acted yesterday. Like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, no. Like, stop with the all, everything about this I hate. I just hate everything about this.
I hope I never meet anyone who speaks to me in acronyms.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, everybody uses acronyms from time to time. Like, that's not a, you know, it's not a big deal. But to base your company on it, like, come on. Seriously, no fucking class there. I mean, good.
Yeah.
Good job on you for trying to, like, whoever you're trying to promote to. But, Jesus, it's just stupid. I'm sure they don't care what we think anyway. I'm sure there's plenty of users that will still use it and all that type of stuff. But what the fuck, man? Just come on with that shit. Anyway.
We shall see. We'll see where it goes. moving on to some more news. I guess this kind of falls in the tech news area because it does affect a big company that we've had around since, I don't know, the 70s, maybe longer. So Toys R Us has filed for bankruptcy, Chapter 11. Before we go any further, we should probably explain what Chapter 11 means for a company. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going out of business. It just means that they have a huge debt and they can't really pay it. So it's kind of like wiping the slate clean to start over, kind of.
With creditors. But that they'll never be the same company that they were. Like, if their stores... I read something somewhere where they did say that just because they're filing bankruptcy that the stores are not planning on closing. But I guarantee you that there will be staff cuts. I guarantee you there will be new Yeah, it's just, it's not great for the toy store giant, yeah. And it's really not.
Like, if I were an investor, or even if I worked there, I would get out now, because it's just gonna it's gonna be a shit show going forward, because they're, you know.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, see, it's just how times have changed, man. I think toy stores are just the next line of victims, and have been in that line of victims, like bookstores or like Blockbusters, or that's kind of why I threw that into the tech, this whole topic into the tech category, because it's online competitors that's really crushing them.
Amazon.
when a parent can, you know, buy a toy on Amazon.com and have it shipped to the house without having to take their kid to the toy store. It's just a different age. Like, back in the day when we were kids, going to Toys R Us was a fucking... It was an adventure, man. Like, you didn't know. You just... As a kid, when you walked into Toys R Us, when toy stores were a big thing, and you walked into Toys R Us, your eyes lit up like you just walked into fucking Disneyland, because... We all knew which section we were about to go to. Like Toys R Us was the thing where it was like, oh man, I just, as a kid, that's why this kind of hurts so bad. Because, like, as a kid, I was one of those kids with, like, the Christmas catalog. Like, I waited for that Toys R Us toys catalog to come in the mail every Christmas, because I would, like, circle like 20 or 30 things to just give it to my parents, like, here you go, you know. And of course you never get that much, but I mean, you're just you're looking at the, I mean, it was a big deal, right? Like, exactly. toy stores and stuff in general was just, it was a fun thing to do. And nowadays, like, it's nothing but a hassle to the parents when they can just buy whatever their kid wants online, right? Have it shipped right to the house.
There's an app for that.
they don't have to take their kid to the store and feel pressured into buying. You know, that's how a lot of toy stores made their money back in the day, was, you know, they get their kids drag the parents into the toy store, and then instead of just getting that one toy that they wanted, you know, some kids were able to finagle another toy out of that purchase, you know what I mean? Whereas if the kid says, I want this, and the dad within 2 minutes can go on Amazon, buy it, and have it be shipped to the house in less than 2 days, hey, it's on its way, bud. Toy store eliminated. And while I think that's convenient, and while I think that's where we're headed, obviously, and it's making things easier for a lot of people, it just sucks, man, because it's like Toys R Us has such a place in a lot of people our age's heart, you know what I mean, because of the memories that we had as a kid going to Toys R Us and stuff. It just sucks. It just sucks. Like, I feel bad for the company, even though I know there was probably a lot of shady credit deals in there and all that shit. But anyway. Yeah.
It's I'm sad to say this. Maybe Amazon should just buy them to keep them open. Like, you know.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I would not be surprised if within a year or two we heard that Toys R Us was being bought by Amazon, and Amazon's new toy section was a Amazon Toys R Us section. Like, I would at least like the name to live on like that. Like, I would.
Yeah, because it seems like that's where it's going. Because when you think about it, when you go into Toys R Us, their buildings are made like warehouses. So, and that's what Amazon does anyway. It's just warehousing. So it's like, it kind of would make sense.
I guess
we'll see.
Yeah, I just don't want the name to die like Blockbuster did. Like, you look at a 13-year-old right now and ask them what Blockbuster was, they'd be like, what? You know, but you say Toys R Us, and that's still kind of a big name. Like, still at least a little bit. And anyway, just to see that name die would just be horrible. You know what I mean? Just...
The other day, I went and, like, I wanted to... What did I wanted to get? I wanted to get some cables for a new monitor. Well, a monitor that I was going to purchase. And I was like, oh, there's a Radio Shack by my house. I go over there. They're like, oh, no, we're not Radio Shack anymore. We're just gone. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, we stopped selling shit. I was like, what?
I mean, in fairness, the first word in that name is radio, and who the fuck uses the radio anymore? Like, hence why we do this podcast, because
Right.
Podcasts are the thing, and online listening is the thing, and radio work, unfortunately. I don't know. Anyway, it's just radio shit, like... So, like, whether it's Radio Shack, Circuit City, you talk about old appliance companies that used to be around that just kind of faded out to all the new shit. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a new day and age we live in, but I just honestly never thought we'd have a day without actual toy stores. And when you see a giant like Toys R Us filing for bankruptcy, that sends a fucking message that those days are just over, and that it's just, it hurts your heart a little bit. It hurts your heart a little bit. You're like, oh my God, that used to be so cool. Why? Like, now I understand what older folks, why they're so bitter. Because it's just like all the cool shit they thought was cool is now replaced by dumb shit. And yeah, anyway. I remember when salesmen actually had to sell shit to me.
Come to my door.
I work hard as fuck selling trampolines door to door. Thank you very much.
It's going to be a thing. But I would say, check out, if you go to the Toys R Us website and you click the About Us section, they have a really nice timeline if you want to go through the history of Toys R Us, which I think they're like, what, 150 years old or something like that?
Actually, I think they're not. No, I think they actually started 100? In like 1949, I believe.
1949? Okay, so
yeah,
they're not.
So they're less than 100 years old, but it's still a company that became so well fucking known, at least across the U.S. I'm not sure how they do internationally. I really don't. But at least in the U.S., Toys R Us became a household name for toy stores. And it's just a giant, man. It's a historical giant. It's just hard to see it go. It really is. It sucks.
Yeah.
So
February 1948, Charles Lazarus.
Oh, was it 48? Okay, it was 48. Yeah. I knew it was 40 something, but
anyway. Yeah. So he started this whole thing when he was 25 years old. I was like, oh, pretty cool. So, good luck Toys R Us. We'll see where it lands, man. We'll see how that all works out. Next up here is some film news. Now, I didn't know this was going to be a thing. I thought they were done with all, any sort of attempt to make a live action Tomb Raider, like the movies and stuff like that. So a trailer dropped and I'm like, what was like, so it's starring people. I think I've seen a few times. It actually kind of looks just like, the video game, the recent video games that's kind of had like a resurgence with this movie, with the game.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna clarify that this is a Tomb Raider based on the new games,
right? The
old games. Whereas, what's her name? Angelina Jolie played a Tomb Raider for the old games when, she was just a badass chick with fucking suspenders and two. 45 Colt, was just running around blowing people away, taking names. This one, the newer games, if you're not familiar with them, are very much a darker, grittier, as far as more real. They try to be more realistic. As this chick who is for the first time experiencing all this. She's like the new Indiana Jones, but just in dealing, if Indiana Jones was dealing with the cartel and actual people that was shooting at him to kill him. And like from what they've shown of the teaser for this new one, it looks cool. Though I will say, I don't know much about bow shooting, but she acted like she had never held a bow in her life when in that teaser. Like the way she's pulling it back, she's got like three fingers, and she was gonna like pull it back. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe that's how archery is done, and I'm the dumbass. But I don't know. It just looked. It looked like she had never held a bow in her life in the teaser. But anyway, yeah, this is totally based on the newer games. Supposed to be darker, grittier. Unlike Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider, who's always in 100% makeup, this chick will probably have blood on her most of the time and dirt. And her clothes will probably be all ripped up. I mean, like, this is a darker, grittier Tomb Raider. So,
yeah. Even the poster for it looks like it kind of looks like the video game too. But it's based off the 2013 video game that they're doing, and the movie will drop next year. They say around March, I believe, or something like that. But the trailer is out there now. If you want to check it out, just look for Tomb Raider movie trailer. Well, I think it's just called, yeah, just hashtag Tomb Raider, and then you'll find it on Twitter somewhere. But we'll also have in our show notes for you to watch as well.
Yeah, and one thing I will say about it that I did like, minus her archery skills, is that in the new games, one of the big aspects to it is these horrible deaths that come to bad traps or... like some of the deaths on the, this new game are just brutal. Just for instance, there are two that I can think of off the top of my head. One is there is a scene where, just like I said, just like Indiana Jones, she's trying to outrun this boulder that is chasing her, and you can literally be crushed by this boulder, and it does not, like, I mean, you hear her screaming, you see the boulder crush her. It's horrible. There is another one where she a big part of the game is like there are these wires that you can kind of like what's the fucking word for it where you rappel. there's these wires that you can like rappel to other sides of forts and trees and stuff. And there was one where like she ran into this spike and got impaled through her chin. And like the spike just comes out the back of her head, and I was like, Jesus. So all that being said, in this new teaser trailer, we see her like jumping over these like moving spike rail things, and like one of them goes right over her head, and she's like looking at it like, holy shit, that's close, you know. And I think that's really, in that aspect, I think they're probably going to definitely try to nail the
really bloody, realistic,
the you know, traps specifically. I think they're probably going to make a note of the traps, and I would be amiss if I did not say that I think we were going to see quite a handful of bad guys probably die to these nasty, gory traps. Because that's what people like from the game, and obviously you cannot kill your main character mid-movie. Right, so exactly. We're going to see a bunch of bad, bad guys get bad, bad deaths. Like,
there's no rating for the movie yet, but I hope it's rated
it'll be R. It'll be R. I would put money if it's anything less than R. I would say don't go see it because it just won't be.
Yeah, then it's just gonna be like a cutesy Indiana Jones esque movie without actual blood or gore. The star in this is Alicia Vikander. I'm not even gonna pronounce the last name, but she is the star from Ex Machina, the recent one. If you if you've seen that movie, then you know who I'm talking about.
To her credit, she has extreme resemblance to the newer Tomb Raider girl.
She does. She looks a lot like her.
Yeah, she does. I don't think they could have found somebody better. As far as how she initially looks.
That's pretty good casting choices. Mm-hmm. So we'll see when that comes out next year.
Indeed.
Yeah. On to some more stuff here. So it came out and it decided to, well, I wouldn't say decided to, it, you know, big box office. You know, this is a rated R film. It's very, I recently saw it. I didn't think it was very scary.
And if you think he's leaving out the name, no, like...
No, that's the name of it. It's called It.
just for clarification, because the way you said it, you were like, yeah, it came out this week, and and it was just like, yeah, okay. So just to be clear, the name of the movie is It. It's a Stephen King film about the clowns. I'm sure you've seen previews, even if you have no idea what it is. It is. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify.
So the movie, it's, you know... It's out. It's destroying the box office right now, which is a record for a rated R movie. I would say, like, you know, watching it, it's a pretty enjoyable film, and there's going to be a part two, which will come out in about 2 years, from what I understand. And apparently the director, I believe, it says that they're going to take like a really obscure character and make them more, they'll have a more pronounced role in part two, which I'm like, I don't know if that will work well, but sure, I guess. It's like, I mean, I guess it makes sense because you're going into part two, so why not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
I mean, personally, I know nothing about the movie because I don't really enjoy horror flicks, but I would go so far as to say I would put money on it that Stranger Things paved the way for this movie to do so well.
Yes, exactly. And that's the entire time, because the movie, so this particular movie is set in the 80s, like the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And the kids, it's like a ruder, they're like the ruder version, because there's a lot of cursing in this, a lot of dick jokes, because it's a bunch of boys. Yeah. So it's like there's a ruder version of the Stranger Things cast in a way. They're not so, you know, I wouldn't call the Stranger Things cast wholesome, but they're appear to be wholesome compared to this cast of kids. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, you know, there's the whole miniseries that happened in the 90s, which was terrible, but you know, I guess they had to do something about it. And the funny thing is, it's not really a horror movie. It's actually an alien movie. It's just that it's presented in a horror like genre, which is like, you know, if you read the book and everything like that.
Stranger Things or It?
Or It. It, yeah. Cause it, oh, okay. It has always been like, it's
the
been...
The clown's an alien? Really?
Pretty much, yeah. The clown's like a shape-shifting alien. But they never really touched on that in the miniseries, and they didn't touch on that in the movie. I mean, but they kind of showed off something that wasn't in the miniseries, but was in the book and stuff like that. I was like, okay, so I guess we're going down that road. But you know,
yeah, I really think the popularity of Stranger Things and that 80s vibe shot very well. I think that carried over to the popularity of this movie. Not to say that this movie wouldn't have done well without Stranger Things. It possibly could have, but I think people were more accepting of it initially because of, like, the aesthetics of it because of Stranger Things. Because Stranger Things did so well on capturing that 80s feel with their stuff. Yeah, I think it really kind of paved the way for stuff like It, you know, and
yeah,
for stuff
whole
like 80s It to do
nostalgia.
Well.
Yeah, exactly. I can see probably a few more movies coming out centering around like kids, you know, 70s, 80s and whatnot.
Well, the problem is, yeah, as soon as, ooh, I mean, you know, you know the market, man, as soon as something is cool, people will kill it. Like, people will do it until it is just kilt. And so I'm hoping we can get another season or two out of Stranger Things before the genre.
Before it's saturated.
Yeah, that retro 80s feel is just like, oh my God, I can't look at this shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, I'm holding out for the Goonies. You know, like a Goonies remake. But I want it to be a little bit more, you know.
People would be up in arms, bro. I think Goonies is one of those movies that it's like, yeah, if somebody did it, oh, man. It'd be like, yeah, nah, dude. I think that's just one of the, like, there are some movies that, personally, and I've been saying this for years, man, I think they should do a remake of The Princess Bride. And anytime I say that to a fan of the movie, I immediately get just bombarded with, why would you do that? No, it's a freaking classic. You leave it alone. Why? No, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, I think it could be handled well. I think if it was done right, it could be awesome. It's like The Princess Bride was supposed to be a comedy. I'm not saying I want somebody to turn it into some dark, gritty, fucking, you know, Game of Thrones type shit. No, like, keep it lighthearted, keep it funny, keep it all that. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that, yeah, like, I get it why some people don't. Yeah, but not Goonies. That's one of the classics, man. That's one of the ones that, like, everybody mentions even to today about in certain situations. And you redo that one, and oh man, I feel like I just feel bad for if any director tried to take that on, or screenwriter, whoever's involved with the project behind the scenes. I feel for you guys, because you guys would have a hard task to keep people happy.
You know someone is talking about it right now. You know it's been discussed.
Oh, I'm sure it's been discussed. Anything that we say, executives have probably said and forgotten.
You know someone has a script just ready for this.
But it's just like, burn it. Go. If you're that guy, burn it. Burn it. Don't touch it. It's just one of those movies that, it's just one of the classics, man. You just don't fuck with the classics. Yeah. I think we can make a whole list of like movies you don't fuck with. And that would be on there. Those. Yeah, there would be quite a few movies on there, but like,
yeah, I can think of a few 80s, 90s movies. I can think that should be remade because it was terrible back then.
Oh yeah, oh for sure.
But you know, I don't know if they would actually do it or not, but we'll see. But anyway, the movie is out, so go check it out. If you're easily scared, you'll be scared. If not, you'll probably laugh like I did. But, you know, it's a fun movie. So, you know, people like it. Moving on to our last piece of film news here. So, Narcos is a big hit for Netflix. And everybody loved the show for its look. It's, you know, a lot of people say it's very authentic looking, like, you know, where they shoot the their different episodes and their scenes and stuff like that. I think they tried to be as authentic as possible. When it comes to the show, because it's kind of a bit of a history, you know, of one of the most notorious drug lords in their history. And when you do these sort of things, that means you have to scout locations, you know? So that means somebody has to go out ahead of time. Cause I have a buddy who works in film and he tells me like he's told to do this sometimes. Like he has to go ahead, like a week ahead and like check out a location and then report back. But, so yes, Nate, you want to take this one away, because I don't want to give away the headline real quick here.
So basically what happened was, if you're familiar with the show Narcos, it's about, the first two seasons are about Pablo Escobar's reign in Colombia, the Medellin cartel, and then the third season was about the Cali cartel. Which was one of the last big cartels coming out of Colombia. And the fourth season, that they are obviously looking for locations for just to shoot and stuff, they are going to be in Mexico, focusing on the Juarez cartel. I believe that's how it's said. Anyway, so all that said, this guy, Carlos Muniz, was down there. This guy has done stuff for Fast and Furious, Sicario. This guy's been in the game long enough that he was he looked for stuff for Apocalypse. Was it Apocalypto or Apocalypse Now? I can't remember. It's one of those. One of those big name movies. He went out and was a scout for them too. The guy had been around for a while. So, he was found dead in his car, and it was in a location that was abandoned. It was in a part of Mexico that has the highest murder rate in Mexico. So, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's horrible what happened to the guy. You know what I mean? But you're taking those chances going. And what I really found interesting about this story, okay, and this came out today, is that the real narco traffickers are aware of the show Narcos.
Right.
Pablo Escobar's brother went on record as to telling Netflix that they should hire hitmen to be security for these filming teams. And if you need hitmen, people that are ready to die, like, Netflix doesn't have narco money, okay? Netflix has money. Don't get me wrong. Netflix has money. But I don't think Netflix has narco money where they can pay these guys to seriously, like, put their life on the line for some movie or show being shot. But this is real shit. Pablo Escobar's real brother told Netflix today, you need to hire hitmen for your filming crew. Otherwise, they will not be safe. He goes on to even say, and I don't know how true this is. This could be trumped up by every news site or whatever. I don't know how involved Pablo Escobar's brother is in the narco trafficking world. But I will say that he says in this interview, at least, that this is my country. And if you want my blessing to come shoot here, you need to basically he was saying you need to ask me before you come just shooting here because this is my country. So the show Narcos, they're having a hard time right now. They were talking about, well, maybe we won't shoot in Mexico. Maybe we'll move it back to Colombia and just shoot parts of Colombia that look closer to Mexico in style or into agriculture or however they're going to shoot it.
Right.
But they might not even have that option now. If like, this is a clear indication that whoever is, like, I don't know, it's almost like a ripple in the show, right? Because, like, in every one of these gangster shows that you see, something happens. There's an inciting incident that starts the shitstorm, right? Mm-hmm. There's an inciting incident that starts the snowball into a bad effect for this, for whoever it is. And I think the killing of this scout location guy was that fucking catalyst. Like, there are probably people who are parts of different government organizations on the phone as soon as they heard about this shit, using this as ammo to officially try to do something. Because it's just crazy, man, to have this guy who works for a TV show, Narcos, murdered by narcotic traffickers, or at least suspected to be murdered by narcotic traffickers. Like, holy shit, you can't write that. You know what I mean? And then to have Pablo Escobar's brother, the guy who the first two fucking seasons of Narcos is about, call Netflix, whoever he called at Netflix, and tell them they need to hire fucking hitmen for this show. Real hitmen for this show. It's like, okay. So this is getting out of hand. This is getting out of hand. This is, you are now meddling. I don't think Netflix can take on the cartels of the world. Like, I don't think that's possible. You know what
that's,
I mean?
That's so, not happening. it's like, there's this, I doubt that. I doubt any insurance company, because, you know, regardless of how this, I'm really sorry for this guy and his family and everything like that. The guy was 71 years old. Yeah. It's, they don't know why he was killed. They just know that he was killed. But it's like,
exactly.
But you know, shooting a show is still a business, and I highly doubt this type of news will bode well for people who are given money to shoot these things. Like, they're probably going to demand, like, no, you're going to go just make a set somewhere and make it look like the area. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, when people are being killed just for scouting, they're not even there. It's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he just went to look at the place, and he's getting killed for that? Nah.
I mean, that probably just goes to show that these people knew who he was coming in.
Right.
These people knew, which just goes to show how much the cartel would probably know. Again, you cannot write this shit. Like,
yeah.
It's real stuff. It's real. That shit really happens, where the narcos have information and shit like that. And of course, we don't know. Like, technically, we don't necessarily know. He could have been killed over a barroom dispute, and nobody fucking knew. And he was stashed in a fucking trunk. And it's the highest, where he was the highest murder capital of Mexico, to my understanding, from what I'm understanding from the articles and stuff. So he was killed in a super bad place anyway. So A, he was probably there under, he knew what he was getting into going to this place, probably. But still, it's like, that's a little too coincidental. Even if it was a random thing and he was killed for no, it had nothing to do with the show. It had, we'll throw it into that ballpark, that it had nothing to do with the show. You have to think that whoever is running the game down there
yeah,
is now on their toes because they are automatically the suspects, right? Like,
of course,
automatically, yeah. Somebody has been killed, somebody who was prominent, especially for scout locators and stuff like that. Right. And this sets a precedent for media in general.
Yeah, you
know, like, so yeah, like, this is going to be handled swiftly and not very gracefully. I would assume people weren't going to want answers for this death. People like the show Narcos, but this adds a dose of reality to the whole, you know, story, to the whole, like, that, like, Narcos, what, even though it's based on true events and stuff, we obviously know that there are, it's fiction it, to some extent, you know what I mean? Not everything went down exactly the way the show portrays it. Sometimes in some areas it was worse, in some areas it was way better. So, you know, the show is not 100% accurate to history, though it is relatively accurate to history. But it just, like, this is just, it blew my mind, man. It blew my fucking mind. 'Cause I was like, how do you kill a scout locator for the show Narcos? Like, I hope whoever, if this was a hit for the cartel, I hope that dude's dead. Like, I hope that dude, it was, because he's stupid. Like, you just put your whole business in jeopardy, bro.
Right, yeah.
Because you wanted to kill some guy. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, that was not a smart move. It was just not a fucking smart move at all. Yeah. Anyway, so.
You're just bringing more scrutiny to the area. More cameras and more questions. You know, for a place that's supposed to be mostly abandoned. So,
yeah, I guess as we close out that topic, just, you know, heart goes out to his family, obviously. You know, I'm sure he had kids, and at 71, he probably had grandkids. So, heart goes out to his family. I'm sorry you guys have to go through this. He seemed, at least from his career, you know, he seemed like a
veteran,
accomplished guy, yeah. An accomplished guy. So for sure. It's just horrible, man. It's fucking, like, the show just got way realer than they wanted it to be, for damn sure. And I feel bad for, yeah, it's it doesn't bode well for anybody on either side. I think a war just got started over that death, but anyway,
we shall see where it goes. Developing news. Anyway, last thing we're gonna cover here is some gaming news here. This is so Valve has, from what I understand, well, from what I can remember, Valve definitely has a community. Valve is like the gaming, like their I guess app, if you want to call it, where gamers can go and buy games for their PC. Along with that, it has a social element where the Valve community can get together and you can leave. They allow you to leave reviews and stuff like that on video games. And for a long time, there really seemed to be no sort of like hardcore ban hammer regulations around this sort of thing. And in the past, there have been these things called review bombing, where, you know, if a certain community, because there are communities within the community, so in Valve and the Steam community, I should say, where people can just go and leave like terrible reviews for a game, which will essentially, like, in a way, kind of like downvote their games, and it won't show up in their rankings, and then other gamers who don't leave reviews or whatever, who just wants to look at games or play games, won't see it. So it kind of kills the game and its notoriety and its, like, overall ability to make money. And so they've just came out, well, I wouldn't say just came out, but I think it's been out for a little while, where they're testing this way to make sure that the reviews that are being given to a specific game is fair, you know, and not like, you know, just rampant. Like, one day you just see a spike of negative reviews for no reason, and it just keeps going that way out of nowhere, when you've been getting like a consistent okay or mixed or really cool reviews and stuff like that. So, and I think they're trying to figure out a way to, like, how to regulate that, and maybe even ban people from giving reviews, or maybe ban you from the whole platform, you know. So yeah, that's what they're doing. What do you think about this, Nate? You think they're, like, it's a good thing they're doing, or?
Yeah, I think basically what they're going to do, the system that they're going to be implementing, and just so we're clear, so people know what review bombing is exactly, is basically if me and Lance had a huge following under us, and some company pissed us off because they wouldn't give us preview copies of a game, or because we got the game and we personally didn't like it, and we went and told this group, hey guys, hey 100 to 1,000 people, we need you guys to go on Steam and just write a bad review for this game.
Yeah.
And that's what review bombing is. So that does happen. That it's unfortunate, but trolls gather in numbers these days and will try to degrade a game for nothing more than personal satisfaction. They're not degrading. Most of the time, these review bombs are not due to the game actually being bad. It's just because they got burned in some form or another, and they want to take their anger out on this game. So the way Valve is going to fight this is, instead of seeing the latest reviews on something, or instead of Steam telling you that recently it's been horrible reviews, what they're going to do is, for every game now, they're going to start showing a timeline of the reviews. They're going to show a graph of when the game came out to the current date and how the reviews have gone for it since. So basically what that means is, if you see mostly positive reviews for the game and then all of a sudden a huge negative spike, that's probably a review bomb. That can help you as a customer factor in, okay, so it probably just got review bombed right here. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt because all this other, feedback beforehand was positive. Whereas if you see something, now I will say this, and I said this before the podcast, is sometimes with games, like with MMOs and stuff like that, we see these games come out that start out relatively good, or at least their fan base has started to accept how this game does their stuff or whatever. And then the company, the devs, whoever makes these decisions will make some decision that fucks the game. There are sometimes that just happens, and we see that a lot with these free MMOs. If you go on Steam and you go to the free games section, 90% of those free games are MMOs. And that's simply because they're just they're the easiest to have a free-to-play model, because it's most of them are pay-to-win at some point. They don't start off that way. They usually end up having to go that way when the revenue isn't coming in to keep the servers online, right? So I feel bad for these companies, but at the same time, some of them are fucking their games from the get, and they deserve these bad reviews, is what I'm saying. So sometimes you'll see a spike in bad reviews that's legit, that this game just did something that made the game horrible for the player base, and those deserve to be legit reviews, you know what I mean? And I love the way that, I guess, this goes back to me liking the way that Valve is handling this by saying, we're going to show you the timeline of all the reviews for every game up front. Like, up front, right under the game, as you're scrolling down, you will see the timeline of reviews. So you will know, if this is something that has downgraded over time, or if there was just a huge one-time spike of bad reviews. It'll help you in your purchasing process. And I really think Valve did a good job, man. Valve, they have good people working at Valve. They come up with acceptable solutions more than not. You know what I mean? So I stand by them on that. I think that they handled that well, as far as, So you will see that in Steam. If you're a Steam user, you will now start seeing a graph soon of the actual timeline for reviews. Hope that helps you with your purchase, as far as knowing. Do you do that, Lance? Like, because I do that. When I'm on Steam and I'm looking through games, if I see a game that has even mixed reviews, I'm automatically like cautious towards it, right? I'm automatically like, anyway. So
yeah, I definitely look at reviews for games, especially ones that I'm unfamiliar with. Like if I don't know really much about it or whatnot, I would definitely like go down and look at the different what people are saying and see how it would run, because it's PC games, so some PC games are just buggy as fuck. Don't run well. So I look for that sort of thing, and it helps me out a whole lot, you know. Even with games that are like that supposedly triple A titles, I still look at reviews, you know, because and I like how you get that kind of unfiltered review thing from people in the community, mm-hmm. and not someone who's paid to do so. I'm not saying that paid reviewers are sucky. I'm just saying, you know, I like to see a more of a, I guess, an outside review on what they think the game is, you know, versus somebody who's like, you know, in the industry, because it gives me a bit more of a realistic view.
Well, when I look at Steam reviews, I tend to look specifically at what I'm trying to get out of the game, and I mean that in the sense of if I'm buying a game for me and my buddies to play, if I'm buying a game that we're about to do co-op. I'll go look in the reviews and see what the people actually say about the co-op. Like, you know, if the game is great, there have been games where I've seen in the reviews it says the game's awesome, but the co-op sucks because this, 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 and this. And if I'm buying the game just for the co-op, it's like, okay, well, I can root that out because, you know, if the co-op sucks on it, then it's all for naught. You know what I mean? I'm not buying it to play it by myself. I'm buying it to play with my buddies. So that's another reason why I personally like Steam reviews, and it sucks to see them abused like that because, you know, it's just trolls being trolls, man. This goes back to the fucking our first topic with or second topic with TBH. It's just trolls being trolls, man. Like.
And to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that, they might as well start all those bad reviews with TBH. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we could just know you're full of shit with your whatever comes out after that. But anyway, So, good on Valve for, you know, for spearheading this and seemingly doing the right thing in... showing you the, like I said, the timeline of reviews. It'll just help you make better decisions if you're like me and Lance and rely on those Steam reviews to help inform your decision of buying. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. So. You can check that out. good luck to Steam and this new endeavor, as I call it. I hope it actually works out. I mean, it seems like this is a really good way of, you know, working out the kinks with this sort of thing. Because I can't really think of any other way besides just not allowing people to do reviews, you know? And I don't think Steam was down for that sort of.
Yeah, no, thing. They weren't good. Yeah. You can't restrict that, especially after that's been such a backbone to your system for a long time, you know what I mean? So I think they did a good job. Like, good. My hat goes off to whoever came up with the idea for the timeline, because that is a... It's flat out just being honest with your customers. Like, if it's been shitty since the get-go, you'll know. If it's been good since the get-go, and then all of a sudden somebody drops a huge bunch of negative reviews on it, well, then you'll know that too. So, good for them. I think this is a good way to weed that out. So,
So, we shall see. This brings us to the end of the episode. If you want to hear more or the different episodes, you know, our archive episodes or later episodes, you can check out Pondering Nerds Cast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. You can also find this episode, most of our episodes, on GameRebellion.com. Check out their community there. They got a great community too, and they do a lot of reviews as well. You know, so definitely check out their writings. Check out what they're talking about there. There's other podcasts there as well. Very cool website. Check us out as well on Twitter. You know, well, we always put our Twitter handles at the bottom, but whatever. Until next time, guys. We really appreciate you for listening, and bye for now.
Take it easy, y'all. 3 C cells.
Leader.